Hi, this is Jim from Safety Words. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
From the border of liberty and prosperity, we're not there yet, we're right on the border. And the highway to the north, this is Jim Polzel for Safety Words with a special Sunday night edition, April 7th, 2024. This is our eclipse edition. We're going to be talking about the eclipse, the great, I don't know what they're calling. The last one was the Great American Eclipse. Now it's the Great Apocalyptic Eclipse. I don't know what to call this. All I know is I am going to take my children out of school to observe the eclipse. Because that's what we do around here. We're into experiences. I hope everybody else out there is going to be doing something similar. And don't forget to use your eye protection, your special eclipse eye protection. Well, they're all over that. We'll be talking a little bit about safety with the eclipse. And yes, we will talk about the one thing we're not really supposed to talk about in polite society. Religion. And as we have found out over the last generation, because we don't talk about religion, then nobody knows how to really discuss religion. Now you're going to say, well, what's that have to do with safety? It has to do with safety. I'll share some of my experience with the end times eschatology. We heard a lot about it. Last night, or I should say Friday night, we got wrapped up doing some stuff. So now that my life has calmed down a lot, I'm noticing I have time for doing things that I have not had time for doing in a long time. So it was Friday, I was a lumberjack the entire day, and I was completely shot by the end of the day. You know? Just one of those things. But anyway, I don't even know where to begin. On Friday morning, I was seeing a family member who is in long-term care. And on the way there, I was driving in northern New Jersey, and it came on the radio, on all of the AM radio, because, you know, AM, you know, FM, AM always beats FM when it comes to reporting on emergencies, because that's the official network that normally the government uses, emergency broadcast system and everything else. But strangely enough, and alarmingly, in my opinion at least, AM radio is being phased out because of interference from all the other devices like Bluetooth. You got iHeart. It's one of them. Now, we broadcast on iHeart here in their podcast network. We also, Jay Allen is on iHeart Radio with his Rated R Safety Show, and we have the Safety M Network. So, you know, a lot of these companies are now iHeart. But what... No, what's my point here? AM radio is being phased out because of all this electronic stuff that's out there, replacements and everything else. But AM radio is important. Why? Because it does not go down usually. Internet will go down. Satellite radio will go down. AM radio is there. It's essential. Right? We did a very lengthy show on AM radio. There's a bill in Congress right now. I'm not sure what the status is about getting AM radio up, with that, making it mandatory in cars, for example. Now, this is what ends up happening here. I'm driving North Jersey, and there's an earthquake, 4.8 on the Richter scale. And we've been dealing, even up until today, with aftershocks. We're told to expect aftershocks until the middle of next week. I said, well, we're happy. Let's be happy that wasn't a four shock, right? Now, in the Northeast, we're not really prepared for earthquakes. It's really not on our mind. It's, so back in 1990, 91, 92, in that area, I was a young undergrad at Stockton State College, now Stockton University. And remember, this is before internet. We had chat rooms, what would be chat, I even forget what they call them in 91, where some of the professors would have you go into basically what was a chat room on the VAX system, I believe it was. And you'd be there on your station. Think of it like this for your younger folks. We had, for years, self-contained computers on the C drive. Then once we got the internet, now it evolved into the cloud. So you have the cloud, and now you have all cloud-based, and we're broadcasting from a cloud-based system right now, all online. And now you can think of the cloud as the old mainframe, and everything else is just a workstation. That's how I think of it. And I'm sure a lot of tech-savvy people are going to go out there and complain. But, you would have chat rooms and people, and everything else. This was the beginning of this whole social media thing and the forerunner of it. Anyway, I'm running through there. I'm walking through there, doing my thing in the Stockton. And what do you know? I'm browsing to do the research, and I come across this book. It's a government document. So we didn't have the internet. We had government document libraries. Stockton was one of them. And I pull out a book, and it says Earthquakes of New Jersey. And it had years and years and years of records on earthquakes of New Jersey. And they were all basically around what we call the Lake of Patcong area. The earthquake on Friday morning was 7 miles west of the Pepac Gladstone, New Jersey. You could say, well, where the hell is that? Think of Donald Trump's Bedminster golf club, and it was like west of there, 7 miles roughly. I believe it was northwest of that golf club, right in Bedminster. Anyway, very well known, by the way. You go down that block, there's one block in Bedminster, and it's like a who's who of everybody in New Jersey. You have the old DeLorean estate, which is something else now, right? The DeLorean, the car, right? No, you have the former governor, Christine Todd Whitman. I don't know if she still lives there. You have millionaires after millionaires and billionaires all down there, Steve Forbes. It used to be that Steve Forbes had an office on Route 206 in Bedminster there, and Malcolm Forbes. And there's a roundabout story that if it weren't for, consider the chaos theory, Malcolm Forbes was like friends with one of my employers, former employers, and he was able to build up his reputation due to this friendship with Malcolm Forbes. Anyway, long story. Don't need to go into it. Back to where we are. That's where it is. Lebanon, New Jersey, a reported final resting place for Aleister Crowley of the most evil man in England. He came up with the religion Thelema. But anyway, I digress. I'm a polymath, as my title shows. Now, the eclipse. We're getting a lot, all different times, even before the earthquakes, right, on Friday. Now everybody's going nuts. You can hear the other wars website out there. They're going nuts over conspiracies and everything else. And I Googled, right, eclipse conspiracy theories. And I came down with a whole list of them here, right? So right here we have Some towns in the eclipse path has declared a state of emergency, but it's because everyone's going to these towns. And the eclipse will not cause the collapse of power grids and grids and communication system across the USA. Yeah, that's what we hear. The power grids are going to go. No, it is not a significant That 2020 world class over 2017's eclipse path, right? A TikTok viewer with over 10 million views suggests that we should be suspicious that April 8th's eclipse path crosses the U.S. in the opposite direction than 2017 eclipse, making a big X over the U.S. This has never happened in the U.S. Well, last I checked, we've been here for like 4.5 billion years on planet Earth. How the hell do you know? Come on. Get with it, people. Right? No, the eclipse is not passing over eight towns called Nineveh. If you're familiar with the Bible, right, you had Nineveh as one of the cities mentioned in there. I believe it's Jonah and the whale, or the big fish, as I was corrected by Brother Vinny in the ninth grade. All right? No, the earth is flat, and, you know, all this stuff, is all this conspiracy. Now, I'm going to tell everybody to please take a chill pill here, right? Now, and then the earthquakes hit. Oh, there's going to be earthquakes. Right here, let's see if I can do a share screen without fouling this up here. I'm going to share USGS, right? Because this is open source stuff here. And let's see here. Okay, this is the list of the latest earthquakes from the USGS here. Now, let's do this. All right. Yes, I know I'm small on here, right? But we'll go with it for a couple minutes. So here we have significant earthquakes in the past month. 3.8 in Gladstone. I felt that one. That's right by one of our listeners out there. Gloria used to live right in the epicenter of this eclipse. And this, this earthquake, literally, that this was like right next to our house here in Gladstone. That was there. Then we had White House Station on Friday, which was also in New Jersey. All right. Then we have, that was a 4.8. Then we had a 6.8 on Friday also in the Mog Islands in Northern Marianas. Where is this? Right here. That's Ventano. There, I think that's the Moog Islands there. All right? Yeah, Moog Islands, Northern Mariana Islands, that is, I believe, part of the United States. Don't quote me on that. That's like a protectorate or something like that. Belden, California, 4.4. Julian City on Wednesday, 6.4. Julian City on April 2nd, 7.4. And we could go, and there's data going out all the way back for decades. Earthquakes are nothing new. They happen all the time, as I said, what I learned at Stockton State College of browsing books in the government documents section, looking for something else, right? That happens. That's going to happen. Now, the eclipse. Right. So now all through history, people who were able to predict eclipses, they use it to their advantage, especially I believe it was Columbus with the on one of his voyages. He went and did this. Right. So here we have the NASA website. Here. Hold on. On eclipses. That show up. No, of course not. Hold on here. Stop sharing. Share screen. Okay, here we go. 2024 solar eclipse. Here, total solar eclipse. This is from NASA.gov. Right. On April 8th, 2024, a total solar eclipse will cross North and Central America. So if we go here, right, and let's see if this will play. All right, so this is from 11:40 04 a.m. right? And then it's going to slowly go. No, I don't want the reroll rate. And let's see, as the world turns. Right, and we see this here. Let's go again. And you can see right where the band is, where that is going. Speed it up. And that's what we're looking at here. That's the NASA graphic. All right, so here's the shade coming over, and the shade coming over, and we're up here in New York, and that we're going to be at like a 90% eclipse here in our area. So what's the point here? Eclipses have happened all the time, just the way it is. We're not going to, again, no need for alarm. And I know some people are very upset that I'm going to say that, but I really don't care. I mean, if people are, okay, here we say, on April 8th, 2024, a solar eclipse will go across the United States. Safety is the number one priority, always the number one priority. Except during the brief solar eclipse, except during the brief total phase of the total solar eclipse, when the moon completely blocks the sun's bright face. Does it have a smiley face or something? I don't know. It is not safe to look directly at the sun without specialized eye protection for solar viewing. So I went out and I got those solar glasses and everything. We'll figure that out. Now, I mean, they're like a shade like 50, something ridiculous. Viewing any part of the bright sun where, as opposed to a welding shield, it's 10 to 15, depending on what you're doing and how you're set up. Right, viewing any part of the bright sun through the camera lens, binoculars, or telescope without special purpose solar filters secured over the front of optics will instantly cause severe eye injury. You don't want this kind of eye injury. When watching the partial phases of the solar eclipse directly with your eyes, which happens before and after totality, you must look through safe solar viewing glasses or eclipse scale glasses. And there is another indirect method where you could set up a projector and have the sun to your eyes and sun to your back, and you punch a hole into an index card and you're able to get a projection on the ground of the total solar eclipse. You can make your own eclipse projector, and there's stuff online. And they taught us back in the 70s. That was the height of our science stuff. We never had an eclipse in the 70s, from what I remember, but we always talked about eclipses. Who the hell knows? Thank you, Woodbridge, New Jersey School District. Now, forget about talking to us about the laws of thermodynamics, optics, anything like we're going to talk about eclipses every freaking year in grammar school. Yeah, anyway. View the sun through the eclipse glasses or a handheld solar viewer. That's how it is. Skin safety, even during a partial or annular eclipse or during partial phases of a total eclipse, the sun will be very bright. Really? If you are watching an entire eclipse, you may be in direct sunlight for hours. Remember to wear a sunscreen, a hat, and a protective clothing to prevent skin damage. Okay, well, this is the other thing is we're coming out of winter here and everybody's like white as a ghost, so let's see what our next, let's see what else. Other information. So don't look at the sun. I mean, what are we doing to prepare? I'm going out and I'm going to experience the whole thing with our solar glasses. Right? I did this with my son back in 2017. He thought it was really cool. Mistress, different kind of, I get it. All right. Her daycare came out there, apprehensive. I said, look, Mary, I got a pair of glasses for you. Come on out here. Named Mary Napolitano, local legend up here. She was like all thrilled. She said, oh, that Jimmy is so wonderful. He got me eclipse glasses, and we got to experience the eclipse together. Now, here's something else. And now they have broadcasts, you know, where and when, right? And this gives you the route of the eclipse through the United States and Mexico and into Canada, right? So pretty cool, right? So we're right over here in New York. We're going to be going probably up to Lake Champlain, which is this area, Burlington, Vermont, to get the full effect. We may just kiss, right, the edge of the eclipse over here. I believe this is Lake George. Am I correct? Yeah, Ticonderoga. So what I would like to do is, you know, we go by Lake George, maybe we go to the Star Trek Museum, right? How did you like my review of Discovery on last week? Going through. Now, every time, and that's what it is, you can go look. This is from the NASA.gov website. And in case you miss this one, they're going to have a broadcast there. April 8th, join us. Great. Now, we go on over here, total eclipses, right? For eclipses here. Hold on. I know that they have a future eclipse. Total eclipse here. Bear with me here. Okay, I'm going to stop sharing here, and we're going to go to future eclipse. Here. Okay, so let's go and share this again. Again, I don't want to violate copyright-ish things here. So here we have the future eclipse. Let's try that again. Okay, future eclipses. Now, if you missed out on this eclipse, there are future eclipses. Here we have October 2nd of this year. There's going to be an annular solar eclipse. Will be visible in South America, and a partial eclipse will be visible in South America, Antarctica, Pacific Ocean, Atlantic Ocean, or North America. Then you have one on March 29th, 2025, which part of North America will get. September 21st, 2025, which is going to be in Southern Hemisphere, Australia, Antarctica, Pacific, and Atlantic Ocean. Then in February 17th, 2026, there is going to be another eclipse here, Southern Hemisphere, and August 12th, 2026. It's going to be another one in Northern Hemisphere. They don't have the route out here. No, as you get closer. And here we have for lunar eclipses on March. That's where you get to see the shadow of the Earth onto the moon, I believe. All right, you have March 25th of this year that passed. September 18th, 2024, partial eclipse in the Americas, Europe, and Africa. March 14th, 2025, there's going to be a total lunar eclipse in Pacific, Americas, Western Europe, and Western Africa. So, you know, there's stuff you got to pay attention here with everything. Now, all of this has led to, with the eclipse, and I mean, there's stuff out there, to one thing, right? Eschatology, something that I consider myself a connoisseur of. Right, I've been reading about it. Right? Yeah, this is my Bible. I bought it back when I was in college, and very well read. I'm not bragging. This is not about that. I'm not being a Pharisee here. And you go to the Book of Revelation, and some of the Catholic Bibles, it is called the Book of the Apocalypse, and often, and now going back in history, when there's been an eclipse, especially around events like earthquakes, every culture has their own apocalyptic thing, it seems. Christianity not being a thing. And right, we have the Book of Revelation. And back, really since, it's been a thing going way back for time immemorial. In Christianity we're talking, every age, every generation has had its whole own thing with the apocalypse, the end of the world, right? It was seen, right, like the Industrial Revolution and the fire. That was seen as an apocalypse. Middle Ages, bubonic plague, seen as the apocalypse. You had various things going on with, volcanic eruptions and apocalypse. Outside of Christianity, you had all the, you had people sacrificing volcanoes. You had going back, all different things and human sacrifices and everything. Because of, stop this apocalypse and to have good fortune goes through pretty much all the cultures out there. We're finding out as we go along. This became another topic in the 1800s. And then once the state of Israel in 47, I believe it was once they came into existence, right, after World War II, then people said, well, wait, the state of Israel has come into existence, therefore it is the apocalypse. And steadily from there, from the 1967 war, and then to the 1973 war, and then to the latest one, the October 6th war, and everything, all these little conflicts, now visions of the apocalypse come up. And you get people, talking about the rapture. They're talking about this, which rapture is a relatively new teaching with that and everything else. So during this whole pandemic, my Bible study, a group at my church, and I'm Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, had come up with a book from a local guy here. I wish I knew about this book 40 years ago, because this gave, right, Richard Ljeski, he died in 2018 right over here in Mamaroneck, other side of the river here. He was a Lutheran theologian, came out with a book, Revelation for Today, Images of Hope. Now you're going to say, well, Jimmy, you mean to tell me this book of hell and damnation and all apocalyptic things? Right, Images of Hope? Yeah. This has been the traditional view. And you go back, and I want to thank Father Pete here, been a very long-term friend of mine. I asked him, I said, hey, look, Father Pete, where is a good Catholic at teaching? What on the Catholic's point of view of the Book of Apocalypse? He sent me a book, magazine article from Catholic.com. /magazine/print-edition/apocalypse article from way back, October 1st, 1995, Antonio Fuentes, the Book of Revelation. And he and the traditional Catholic and Lutheran teachings are it's a book of hope. What was this book about, according to these theologians? It already happened. Well, it's basically it. The book was written at the time for that it was written for those people to address to those folks. A lot of stuff doesn't, 90% of it already happened. 95. All this other stuff. But what has happened is, and I'm sorry, we have what is called disaster pornography in this country and in this world, right? Now you're just saying, well, the guy who wrote a book on nuclear terrorism, yeah, well, you know what? I wrote about what was in the government documents on nuclear issues. I'm thumbing myself through another book on that right now, right, casually. What the government said, well, these are the nuclear issues, this is what we're likely to have. The most likely scenario we're going to have is three 10-kiloton explosions in three different cities on the same day. That's basically what we're preparing for the country, all of our plans and everything. Not a whole tactical, like the day after tomorrow or testament type thing, a movie where everything goes, kaflooey here. Or the day after was the name of the movie. Day after tomorrow was another movie. But anyway, all this stuff has happened, and this disaster pornography really became popular in the 1960s, late 60s, late 70s, late 80s, all through there, through the Cold War, and everything else. And it's not healthy, and it's drawn away from the central message of the Bible, which is forgiveness, reconciliation, right? World peace, helping your neighbor. And Jim, what about the real big one? Yeah, God loves you, and his son died for your sins and atoned for them. That's what the book was about. Instead, we get on this, we're all going to, all of this other stuff, and we see what the effects are now. Now, every little blip, everybody's running. A lot of people are running. Oh. So what's going to happen with the eclipse tomorrow? A lot of traffic. I can guarantee that. So I'm having everybody pack in sleeping gear in case they're going to fall asleep on the way home. Right? That's number one. No, right? That's definitely going to happen. You're going to have some people riling people up. I hope this was that was useful, because I tell you what, this book here was written, Revelation for Today, Images of Hope, by Richard L. Jeske, as a response to all of those books of the 1970s, 80s, into today, on what we're talking about here. A Song of Hope, an Image of Hope, where we have God loves you and everything else that goes. That's what the book of Revelation is about. It's about hope. It's about optimism, prosperity, versus the other thing, hell and damnation. And that's what the view is. That's what I wanted to do. When you talk, that's part of the safety war here, psychological safety and everything else. And I know this got off track a little bit, rambling and everything else, but seriously, things are getting better. Our days ahead of us are better than the days behind us. I have a lot of hope in the future. Good things are coming. It may be a rough journey getting there, but things are going to turn around. Be optimistic, because optimism is at a premium nowadays. For Safety Wars, this is Jim Poelzel.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.